collect the past to define the present and shape the future. My, 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 do we have some very, very interesting things to talk about today. Stay tuned for today's episode of Elevated Toes Radio. Did you know? Let's get it, man. Thanks for tuning in. Yo, what is going on? Welcome to Elevated Toes Radio, the episode where I ask you, did you know? Like, no. Did you know? Anyways, we're back, right? And I'm excited to share this one with you guys and gals, the entire Elevated Posse. It's like this, man. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. I just drank some black tea, so excuse me if I burp, excuse me a little bit, but I'm gonna go straight through with this one. Do my best to make no edits and give you guys right off the press. A lot of this information was pretty new to me. And, you know, we all took history class before, and we've been through the education system and school, the depression system, and K through 12 and college. And we've, you know, some of us have gone further, and some of us are just curious by nature. So I'm here to ask you guys a few things if you knew this and shed some light on the past few centuries. You know, it's amazing some of the different inventions and different things that came through the past few centuries that we're still using today. And not only are we still using them today, we're like perfecting them. And let's just get right into it. So we'll start with the 14th century. You know, did you know that in the 14th century, the technique of knitting was discovered? That's wild. Like, knitting? Who knits nowadays? I mean, I know people knit, but it's that old, you know? It's at least seven centuries ago, you know what I'm saying? So, also in the 14th century, the first pound lock was invented in 1373 in the Netherlands. A pound lock is what they use on ships to lock the ships to the dock, and to lock like a hinge on to a ship, on a sailing ship, to, what do you say? The word is to tow it. So it can tow things and pull things and be docked to a shore. So that was pretty interesting. I thought about the 14th century. It was an age of, you know, a lot of events went down. But, you know, we collect the past to define the present and shape the future. And there's some things that went down in the 14th century that we're better off just leaving in the 14th century. And, keeping our thoughts on the positive things that came out of some of these inventions and some of these, you know, hundreds of years that went down in history. So let's move on to the 15th century. In the 15th century, the Renaissance arts, you know, was a thing. And the Renaissance arts era was an era of the Mona Lisa painting, an era of Leonardo da Vinci. It was an era of the art that shaped an era of accelerated change. Modern English was modernized from Middle English. The introduction of the noon bell in the Catholic world was introduced. public banks were introduced in the 15th century. So these things have been around for that long. Scotch whiskey was introduced in the 15th century, as well as psychiatric hospitals, all introduced in the 15th century. There must have been some things going down in the 15th century for the same, you know, in the same century, in the same 100 years, public banks to be introduced, Scotch whiskey to be introduced, and psychiatric hospitals. Isn't that something? Also, the advancement of the printing press by Johannes Gutenberg in 1455, and the linear perspective drawing is perfected by Filippo Brunelleschi in 1410 to 1415. You guys gotta excuse me if I butcher these names. These names are very European. These names are, it's my first time seeing all these letters put together this way, so, you know, it is what it is. So the 15th century was full of many highs and lows, was full of a lot more inventions, but I like to highlight the ones that I mentioned. If any of these stand out to you guys, mention them to me. Reach out to me on Elevated Toes Pod on Twitter or Elevated Toes Radio on Instagram, and let me know, like, if one of the inventions that I mentioned struck you, like, wow, you had no idea, or, you know, blew your mind. So we're moving on to the 16th century. In the 16th century, something interesting happened. And hold on. Before I get into the 16th century, let me add that in the 14th century, excuse me, in the 15th century, 1492. Does that year sound familiar to you guys? 1492. That was when Christopher Columbus stumbled upon the New World. And following discovering the New World, they cultivated that land. They seized that land, and they took control over whatever was there, right? We won't go deep into that story, but we'll say that in the 16th century is when they began to settle there, the Europeans. And the people from the Old World began to settle in the New World. And this was the, I wouldn't say the birth, but this was the time of what they called the Columbian Exchange. Now, the Columbian Exchange was a time where many plants, animals, and diseases were introduced into the New Worlds and the Old Worlds, based on the cultural exchange that took place upon Christopher Columbus and the settlers coming to the New World and bringing free people and enslaved people to that world from West Africa, from Europe, and from Asia. And, it was a time of different inventions and different ideas, and different languages, and different cultures, and different animals, and different crops. Potatoes, you know, were introduced from one land to the other land, or should I say from one continent to another continent. So that's when Europe first gained potatoes. They got it from the New World being the Americas. And that was called the Columbian Exchange. That one took me by surprise. Also, the spinning wheel revolutionizes the textile production industry in Europe during the 16th century. That's something, right? This one really got to me because, you know, y'all know me and Nigel Jamal, right? So tell me, the letter J is introduced in the English alphabet in the 16th century. They added the letter J to the alphabet. You telling me that if I happened to be born before the 16th century, that my middle name would be like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, what would it be? Nigel Amol or something? Or Yamal? I don't know. Whatever. So let's move forward. In the 16th century, the first portable watch was created by Peter Henlein of Germany, Ferdinand Magellan, and Juan Sebastian Elcano. They led the first circumnavigation of the world. Now, circumnavigation means to sail all the way around. And it can mean sail all the way around an island, sail all the way around the continent, or sail all the way around the world. And they were the first to do it from 1519 to 1522. That was pretty amazing to me to hear that, that they did that. Also, backtracking. The letter J being introduced into the English alphabet, that sounds a little, you know, like not that long ago, were they adding new letters to the language? So we've been fussing over the way we speak and the languages we speak for about 500 years now, you know, almost 600. So moving forward. The modern square root symbol was introduced in the 16th century. What we use today is square root of four, you know, the square root of 16, the square root of 64, the square root of 49, you know, those, seven, eight, four, and two. So I gave you the answers to all of those. But that was introduced in 1525 in the 16th century. So not that long ago did they come up with these symbols for mathematics. Isn't that something? In 1540, Francisco Vasquez, he set his sights on the Grand Canyon. Wow. So they discovered the Grand Canyon, at least in our history. It was always already there, but the people who were the first to record it within our own history books that we follow happened in 1540, as well as in 1541, Francisco de Arellana, he sails the length of the Amazon River. Interesting. Another thing that, and excuse me if some of these things are not in chronological order. I'm just, you know, getting them out there to you guys because they were pretty interesting when I stumbled upon them. So I want to pass those on to you. And also in the 16th century, Juan Ponce de Leon sets his sights on Florida. Copernicus publishes his theory that the Earth and the other planets revolve around the sun, and Spanish settlements in Alabama, Florida, and Georgia confirmed the dangers of hurricanes and local native warring tribes. So that was in 1559 to 1562 that they discovered that the hurricanes and how dangerous they could be, as well as the local native tribes that were there. Okay. The invention of the graphite pencil by Conrad Gesner happened in 1565. So the graphite pencil with a wooden holder just means a pencil. And in 1565 is when it was introduced or invented, and it was modernized in 1812. So almost 300 years later, they modernized a technology that has been around for over 250 years. That's interesting to me, because I wonder how many things have been invented or discovered, and then like how many years it takes for it to be modernized. I wonder if things like that still happen, like it happened back in 1565. I mean, shoot, they weren't getting nowhere near close to what we're inventing and discovering now. So I can imagine some of the breakthroughs that are already occurring. Let's move on. 1593, Galileo invents the thermometer. You guys are pretty familiar with the thermometer. Every day when you turn on the news or you look at your weather app on your phone, you get to see the temperature, which is taken from a thermometer. But we don't see the actual mercury inside of it anymore. We just see the number. That's all we need to worry about, what the temperature is going to be like. So briefly going to the 17th century. In the 17th century was the scientific revolution, where the introduction of philosophy, the introduction of philosophy actually becoming work, like a valid work. People before that just called it science and just called it, you know, thinkers and theorists and that's about it. So there were a lot of things that happened in the 17th century. I'm sure you guys are well aware of that. But like I mentioned earlier, we're going to keep it on the positive tip for what we want to remember about the past, because you collect the past to define the present and shape the future. So in the 17th century, there was a rise in popularity of tea and coffee, and that happened in Europe. And in 1669, my guy Isaac Newton built the first known operated reflecting telescope. Well, I like the way that was worded. It was said the first known operational reflecting telescope. That must mean that there may have been schematics or evidence of someone building one earlier, in some kind of earlier time in history, because all it is really just a lens with a magnifying lens, with you know, a holder and a stand and a glass that reflects a mirror image from a larger image down to your eye, so you can see it at a focal point. It sounds like, you know, maybe when they were coming up with it back then, it sounded difficult, but now we have cell phones and we have like computers and coding. Something like a telescope doesn't even sound difficult to construct anymore. I mean, you can literally get like a paper towel roll and make a telescope out of it, like a handmade, you know. Anyways, moving forward, Isaac Newton is the man famous for the quote, "Anything in motion stays in motion unless acted on by an equal or opposite force." He's also the gentleman who the apple fell on top of his head and he discovered gravity. The scientific revolution was huge in the 17th century. Moving forward into the 18th century. So in this time, the first piano was built by Bartolomeo Cristofori, as well as a tuning fork by John Shore, and the steam engine by Thomas Newcomen, and the mercury thermometer by Daniel Gabriel Fahrenheit. Y'all know the word Fahrenheit, you know, Celsius and Fahrenheit, so I'm sure Celsius did something too. Moving forward, Vitus Bering discovers Alaska in the 18th century. The lightning rod is invented by Benjamin Franklin. The tallest wooden Bodhisattva statue in the world is erected at Puning Temple, Chengdeng, China. And that's in 1755. The circular saw is invented by Samuel Miller in 1777. Wow, that was like the first name out of all of this that sounded like African or something. Anyways, you know, I noticed a trend. Lots of these names sound European and American. I guess all the inventors and the people who made these discoveries were of Europe and Asia and Germany, I guess. I guess so. I mean, I'm definitely curious to go deeper in this and find out if there were any other inventors of color or from Spain or from Africa or, you know, anywhere else in the world, because I'm sure You know, when fire was discovered in one part of the world, it was discovered in another part of the world. And that's kind of how the way all of these inventions work, with the unified field and energy, you know, since everything is energy. But that's neither here nor there. Moving forward, the 19th century. This would be the last one out of all of these. Like, did you guys know that the birth of science as a profession began in the 19th century? Did you know that the publishing of The Origin of Species, which introduced evolution by natural selection, was introduced in the 19th century? Did you know that the germ theory and vaccines were introduced in the 19th century? Also, thermodynamics, the light bulb by Thomas Edison, and the induction motor by Nikola Tesla, as well as telegraphy and the telephone. So I don't know if you remember last episode when I mentioned non-physical science and non-verbal communication. Well, the word telepathy means distant feeling. If you break down the root word to its Latin roots, tele mean distant, and pathy to pathos, to feeling. So telegraphy and telephone, interesting. Distant phone, distant graphy. So whatever graph is and whatever phone is, phone meaning sound, phonic, distant sound, and telegraphy, graph maybe means writing, a scribe. So distant scribing, distant sound. Interesting. So what's television? You know me, I like to say television, but what is television? Does it mean distant vision? Is that what it means when we watch TV and they give us, you know, they send a signal from wherever it comes from, broadcast, and it sends it through the TV monitor or cable box or antenna or satellites and comes straight to us? Is it literally just a distant vision given to us? Because in this new day and age coming, that's already here, honestly, like, we have our own vision, don't we? I mean, this is Elevated Toes, baby. Like, if you're part of this community, then, and if you're hearing this message, then I'm sure, like, you get it. You know that, like, the vision moving forward is a creative world, a love-filled world, a peace-filled world, and just a joyful, harmonious community, man, where we can create as we want. The dancers can dance, the singers can sing, the drawers can draw, the painters can paint, the makeup artists can do makeup, the YouTubers can YouTube, you know, the producers can produce, you know, the DJs can spin and DJ, you know, the filmmakers can film, you know, the writers can write, you know, the scientists can science it up. The physicists can physic it up. Humor me here, please. Humor me here. But, you know, just a world where technology and engineering and science thrives, you know, and nothing's held back, you know, and we use all of these inventions and discoveries for the greater good, you know, rather than looking on the TV and seeing, like, I will refrain from mentioning them, but there are a lot of disturbing shows out there, and I'm like, how did this make it through, like, all of these people that it has to clear in order to broadcast? But either way, we're moving from a fear-based society to a love-based society, or fear-based world to a love-based world, and Let's keep the ball rolling. You know, Isaac Newton said that anything in motion stays in motion unless acted on by an equal and opposite force. And right now, imagine the love ball, you know, humor me again, but imagine the love ball. It's gaining momentum. It's rolling down a hill or a mountain, we'll use the word mountain. It's rolling down a mountain right now, like an avalanche almost, a snowball, a large snowball. And it's on this huge mountain, maybe taller than Mount Everest, metaphorically speaking. And as it rolls down this mountain and it comes from the peak, it comes down to us, you know, we're elevated toes. So we're above everything already. And as we gain all of this energy and this momentum from where we are in our community, the snowball effect happens, almost like a domino effect. And like one person sharing a kind act, paying it forward, doing something nice for another person, selflessly, unconditionally, lovingly, with care, and with good intent, moves on to the next person, and on to the next person, then 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 on to the next person. And imagine what the world would look like in 10 years. You see, I heard a quote from, I don't even know where, from an unknown source, but it goes like, we overestimate what we can do in 1 year, but we underestimate what we can do in 10 years. Now, part of me feels like, you know, I could be this wild, mad scientist or this loony dude who just wants better for the world and for himself and for his future family and future kids and for his current family, you know, and everybody and friends. But another part of me says that it's possible. Another part of me says that we can do this and that we can be the change that we want to see, you know. It starts with us, man. We already are in the future. We're already here. All of the cartoons that we saw were from the 1960s, man. The Jetsons from the 1960s, man. Scooby-Doo's from the 1960s, man. Like, they had robots and flying cars in their mind. They imagined that almost 50 years ago. So imagine what we can imagine and manifest in our time. It can be science fiction, or it can be reality. And if you're listening right now, I challenge you today, do one kind act for somebody, just one. And if you have it in you to do more, then, you know, more power to you. But just see what happens. You know, they say a butterfly flaps its wings in China can cause a hurricane in the West Coast, right? So let's see what happens. If you're hearing this right now and you do a kind act for somebody, you know, shout me out on Twitter, Elevated Toes Pod, and let me know what you did. If you're on the gram, you already know Elevated Toes Radio on the gram. Let me know what you did. I'll mention you and I'll shout you out. And if you're listening on Anchor, then leave me a voice message and let me know what you did that was kind for somebody else. No matter how small or how large it was, this is less about recognition and this is more about accountability. This is more about actually taking action and being the change you want to see. You know, if you think that you have to do something like, you know, large in order for it to be kind, you're mistaken. You know, there's no right or wrong here. There's no right or wrong way to be kind to somebody. Something as small as a smile can change somebody's day. You have no idea the effect that maybe that person was having a terrible day and everyone they came across had an attitude or seemed apprehensive in some way. And you being the, you know, the light in their day, the warm, gentle smile that was sincere changed their whole vibe up. And then from that point on, they had an amazing day. Came home to a happy family, came home to great news, you know, came home to relaxation, to fulfillment, to joy, to peace of mind. Imagine that, man. You can't, you know, there's no price to put on peace of mind. There's no price to put on joy. There's no price to put on, you know, relaxation and a happy family and a happy home. There's no price for that, man. Because, you know, I know, I've heard stories about people who have all the money in the world and they're miserable. And I've heard stories about people who live in an ice hut and they're the happiest people in the world. So joy, happiness, and pleasure is all relative to the person. Be the light you want to see. Be the change you want to see. And do me that favor. Do that one kind act for somebody. Let's get this snowball effect rolling. Let's get this domino effect rolling. And let's be the change you want to see for our generation, X, Y, Z, whatever generation you're in, man. Theta, Alpha, whatever. I don't even know. Omega. I don't know, dude. I don't know what they call it now. But honestly, the way I see it, if we're all here on this planet at the same time, then we all can work together as one. Whether you're from the older generation, the middle generation, the newer generation, it has no difference, man. Because we're all on the same planet. And we all affect it with what we do, how we live, and what we say. You know, the thoughts we rehearse are the words that we speak. And the words that we speak are the actions that we take. And the actions that we take are the habits and the lifestyle we live by. So what thoughts are you rehearsing? What words are you speaking? What actions are you taking today? May they be peaceful. May they be hopeful. May they be positive. May they be joyful. May they be harmonious, man. It's from the heart, y'all. It's from the heart. Elevated Souls Radio. It's your boy, Nigel Jamal, signing off, man. Thank you for tuning in. You know, thank you for listening to this episode. And I'm really grateful to have this podcast and this platform to share this information with you guys and, you know, build this community and whatever's happening. And thank you guys for listening. We hit 1,000 plays, man. We hit 1,000 plays. That was major, man. It was a point where I didn't know if anyone was listening, but we did it, man. We did it, man. We did it. So much peace and love and everything to all of you guys. And I'm just very grateful. I'm signing off. It's your boy, Nigel Jamal, the podcast that gets higher when they go low. You already know. Elevated Toes Radio. Yes.